no longer fly. And he brushed off its wounds and then watched it soar into the sky. In his mind full of creation, on this eye can depend. I am his trial, and I can place all my trust in him. He always knows.
Ready your heart to Praise the Lord. Maybe right here while we're feeling this sweet spirit, we can have special prayer for Brother Wallace. They say he's really suffering in pain, and he wants more pain medicine, but they can't give him any more. They won't give him enough to get rid of the pain, and he's just miserable. Well, let's just ask the Lord right here together for him special. Oh, God, Jesus, touch our brother, Lord. Help him, oh, God. He's the pain in his body. Help him and comfort him. Oh, God, as only you're able to do, we pray. Hallelujah. Precious Lamb of God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 Lamb of God. Precious Lord, touch him tonight. Touch him, oh God, help him, Lord, we pray. Let him heal rapidly, Lord. Oh God, let your healing power touch him today. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. It sure is good to see Eshawn again. We've been missing you, Eshawn. He's been with his dad, but we miss him when he's gone. He's always had a tenderness for the Lord and the things of God. And I get to need an inspiration. I always look for Eshawn. Aren't we glad Sister Ashley's coming and helping us out? Appreciate her being here with us.
I certainly appreciate the Lord and appreciate what we've felt so far in this service. Thank God. And I was talking to Sister McGowan earlier this week and made a statement to her to the effect that we are a privileged, special people. From the standpoint that, you know, we were in Pentecost, Brother Smith made mention today, but we was on the other side of the fence. He was among the Trinities, and we were among the oneness. And God touched our hearts and our lives. And I was relating to Sister Stewart earlier this afternoon before service. I said, I feel like that the greatest thing that God done for me was when he brought me to the body of Christ, touched my eyes and began to feed me with the truths of the Word of God. happened to me was when he brought me this way and gave me eyes to see. Because, you know, in each of us have experiences in our lives, you know. I've received healings in my own life, and that was good. I needed them when I got them. But I still believe that the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me was when he brought me this way, and he gave me eyes to see. And to show you that, you know, each of us has to have an experience with God. I don't care who we are. I don't care how long you've been here. And I made mention to Sister Stewart, I don't mind saying it out loud, that to us that come from Babylon, that appreciation shows, and it's real. It's really real on the inside. And, you know, you have to have an experience with God, and you have to have, like Brother Smith was talking today, you have to have the Holy Ghost in your life. You've got to get it. You've got to get it, because it's the birth into God's great kingdom. You know, if you stayed in the womb forever, you would never, ever be born into this family of humanity. But we're conceived, and 9 months later, we're born. We're separated from our mother. And here, you have to receive the Word of God. You have to hear it. And there's a seed that's planted in your heart that has to germinate. And you have to respond to that. You can't just sit around and say, well, if God's going to do something, He'll do something. You know? Somewhere God has to see a response on your behalf. You've got to respond. You've got to do something. And I'm telling you right now, when God deals with young people, it's a frightful thing if they're not used to it. It can scare you half to death. But I'm telling you one thing, if you'll yield to that, the most wonderful experience in life for your individual being will come to fruition. It'll take place. It'll happen. You respond to God. God will respond to responses. God responds to responses. Hallelujah. God can touch your life. You're embarking on a journey in life that is second to none. Amen. Second to none. And, you know, Of course, there's a lot of things that's going through my mind right now, but I thought, Lord, touch our hearts, touch our minds. From this standpoint, I know Brother Smith has talked to us telling us all the time, you know, and I want to reiterate this point. I've been here for over 50 years. That's a long time. And we still don't have the church restored, you know. Young folks, you got a job ahead of you. Young folks, you got a job ahead of you. You're not starting where some folks, and let me iterate this point before I go any further. There was people that worked on this back before I got here. There's been people that have lived, worked, and died working on this job. And Brother Smith, we may not live long enough to see it done. You know, we may not. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we did? I'm not going to be disappointed if I don't. I'm not going to be disappointed if I don't get to see the restoration of the church, you know, in the process from here to the restoration point. I will be disappointed if I don't get to see it. But I'm looking forward to it. I want to see it in fruition. I want to see it working. I want to see it with its full glory and a manifestation of God that's going to happen among the Gentile people. My Lord. But there's work ahead of you. There's labor ahead of you. But it's not necessarily just a physical labor. It's a spiritual labor. our young folks, I sometimes watch them and I kind of ask the questions, do you feel like that you don't know what to say when you get to your feet? You feel like, well, I can't preach like Brother Smith, so I don't have anything to say. Or I can't talk like Brother Weiner, so I don't have anything. Or Brother Painter or Brother Phil, so I don't have anything to say. Let me point out something to everybody sitting in this church house tonight. You have got something in your life that nobody else in this church house has. Every one of you have got something that nobody else has. And nobody else can tell it. You know, I can tell you about my wife's experience in getting the Holy Ghost. Let me give you some of it. She and her brother and I don't know, several others, went to have a prayer meeting in her aunt's home. They had an old wood-burning stove to heat the house. Her brother received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. My wife, pardon? Already had the Holy Ghost, all right. See, I can't even tell it like she can. Anyway, the Spirit touched him, and he got to jumping back and forth over the top of my wife. And in his commotion, he knocked the stovepipe down on that stove. My wife received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in that home, and the aunt didn't believe in the Holy Ghost. And as far as I know, she died without. Now, I'm just hitting some of the high points of it, but that wasn't my experience. That was hers. I can just tell you some of the things that I know about what she done at that meeting. But that is her experience, and she can get up and tell it a lot better than I can. You know? Young folks, if you want to really stir other young folks, let me tell you what to do. Just a suggestion. You don't have to preach like Brother Painter. You don't have to preach like Brother Smith. All you have to do is get up and tell us your experience in the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you what it'll do. It'll cause men like me and Brother Smith and Brother Painter to get excited. Hallelujah. Amen. We get excited when you're talking about the Lord in your immediate life and nobody else can tell it like you can. That's what I'm trying to point out. Woo! And besides that, let me say something else. Other young people, you know who they want to hear tell about the Holy Ghost? Not old men like me and some of the rest of us. They don't want to hear us tell ours. I mean, they'll get used to it after a while. They may want to hear our experience. They want to hear other young people tell about it. Dearly beloved, let me tell you something. You can stir the hearts of young people just by telling what Jesus has done for your life. That's it. And you say, well, I don't know how to tell it. Just get up and start. I dare you. I dare you. You'll get up and begin to say, Jesus, talk to my heart one night. Now I responded to it. I went down to the altar. I stood at my seat. It doesn't make any difference where you got the Holy Ghost. It's the fact that you got it. Something happened to you, and you're telling about it like what you feel. Whoo! I wished I could share what I feel right now. I wished I could just take it up in little boxes and pass it around to everybody. I know Brother Smith does that every once in a while. I see him, and I know where he's at. I may not feel exactly what he feels, but I know where he's at. He's in the spirit realm. I'm sure that he'd like to say, well, here's a box. I'll take some of that and give it to Brother McGowan. Amen. I wished he could do it. I really wished he could do that sometimes. Just pass me a box of it, you know, because I need all the help I can get. We're working on a job. We're working on a restoration of the church. The reason we're working on it is in order to get saved, for one thing, and to help other people that has a like, similar feeling that we had. Before I got to this church, I was hungry. I wanted something more in God than what I had. I wanted a deeper walk. I wanted a greater understanding of the Word of God than what I was getting. And I didn't know any, I didn't know where to go. It's not, we don't have any signs out here on the street saying, well, come on in, you can get all the Word of God you can handle, or maybe a little more. We don't have anything on a sign that says, you can find that that satisfies the soul. We don't have anything on a sign out there that says that. But I tell you what, when I walked in among this people, I felt a feeling that went through me like a shot that you have found your mother. Hallelujah! I know what that's like. I was lost one time as a young boy. I was lost for nearly half a day, and my mama didn't know nothing about it until I got home. Anyway, the police took me to where I lived. I went through the back door and said, I'm home, Mom, I'm home. Hallelujah, what a great feeling it was. When I come among this people, hallelujah, I found home. I found my mother in Jesus Christ. I found that soul-saving filling station that I was longing for. Whew, hallelujah. Jesus is capable. You know, I, as somebody made a statement, I think, earlier this week that we're reading the Bible. And I noticed when God was dealing with Moses to lead his people out of Egypt, you know that God told Moses what to do. He said, Moses, you do so and so, this will happen. Moses done those things that God told him to do. But now Moses didn't actually do it. He just done what God told him to do. But he done what he was told to do. That's what we'll have to do. But there's coming a time. You know, and there did come a time when God made this statement. I don't know if you read it yet, but it kind of jumped out at me. Said, I will get honor. I will get honor from Egypt. And he was talking about the utter destruction of Egypt, not just the Egyptians. That jumped out at me, and I'm thinking, now how is God going to get honor from Egypt and he's wiping them out? Well, it come to me. We've been talking about that for how many years? God is getting the honor. Look at what he done in delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt. My Lord, God is a wonder. He's a wonder. Look at what he done. He destroyed Egypt. And you say, well, how did he get honor out of that? Easily. You and I look at it today. We look at it. And we're talking about it. What a wonderful God we're serving. He was bringing his children out of Egypt, out of captivity. He was bringing them, he was taking them back to the promised land. That's what he was doing. You know, in the promised land, somebody said, well, they was full of ites. That'd be almost like telling me that patch of ground over there is full of ticks. Ticks and me do not get along. The ticks do all right, but I don't do so good. Boy. Anyway, God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, set them free from the Egyptian bondage. It's because they began to cry out to God because of the labor that they was put under in Egypt. But if you'll read there all the plagues that took place in Egypt, none of those plagues bothered the children of Israel over in Goshen. You know, they wasn't bothered with the flies. They wasn't bothered with the grasshoppers. They wasn't bothered with the death of cattle. They wasn't bothered with the frogs. Help me out with some of the others. They wasn't bothered with the river and the water turning to blood. How would you like to go get a drink out of a river and its blood? Whew, my Lord. What I'm trying to say is, folks, look, we're serving a mighty God. When Moses and the children of Israel got to the Red Sea, you know, God told Moses, said, you stretch out your rod. That was as much as Moses could do. Said there come an east wind and blew throughout the night. The next morning, there was a pathway across that Red Sea that was dry. It was dry. The sea was stacked up over here. If I'm not mistaken, I think I read that, and it said the sea was stacked up on both sides of the children of Israel as it went across. Now, here's the point that I'd like to put in here. How did God, with an east wind, stack up water on both sides of the pathway? I'll ask him that when I get there. But we are serving a God that is so great and so wonderful. But all of those things are in the past. We can look back on them. And we can say, well, you know, that doesn't really relate to us today. Let me show you a couple of points that jumped out at me concerning the manna that was delivered to the children of Israel. God told Moses, and Moses, you tell the people that they are to go out and they're gather just enough manna for that one day. On the sixth day, they're to go out and gather manna enough for that day and the next day. Well, did you know that there were some people that went out and they gathered manna for that day and had extra left over? And they put that on the shelf. And the Bible said that when they woke up the next morning, it was full of worms and it stank. Now, does it not strike you strange that there was somebody there that didn't get the message? That they went out and gathered more than they were supposed to gather? You know? I mean, they were told, don't gather any more than what you can consume. That's it. No more. And then, on the sixth day, you're supposed to go out and gather enough for this day and the next day, which would have been the seventh day. Did you know that on the seventh day, if you'd opened the curtain on your tent and looked out in the field, there was people out there looking for manna. They were told there's not going to be any there. You're supposed to get that yesterday. What's the wrong? Why didn't you get the message? Well, what we're wanting to do is we're wanting to get the message. Let's get it and get it right. Find out what the message is. Get it right. We don't want to be out there looking for manna when there's not going to be any. And when there is manna, we want to get what we're supposed to get. And on that sixth day, we're going to get twice as much. Not because we're going to eat all of it today, but we're going to eat what we're going to hold today and have enough for tomorrow. That's what we want, isn't it? But the thing that jumped out to me was that there was people there that didn't get the message. They were among the children of Israel. They were children of God, but they didn't get the message. I don't want to sit here among the people of God and be a child of God and not get the message. And that I do get, I want to get it right. I want to get it right. Yes, amen. I thought, Lord, help our young people, encourage them, to get up and give their testimonies. Why? Because I'd like for my grandchildren to be saved. I'd like for them to be saved. You know, I've got a granddaughter up here tonight playing with us. I do appreciate her. I will put this burden on her a little bit. I'd be glad when she gets her driver's license. That way she can bring Nana and Papa to church. She can drive us. Anyway, well, we appreciate her. I do, and my wife does. I scared her about half to death here a while back before I had those hand surgeries. You know that you go under anesthesia? Am I got it right yet? Anyway, they put you to sleep. Anytime that an older person is put to sleep, there's always the possibility that they won't wake up. Anyway, I went into the bedroom where she's at, and I told her. I said, "Young'un," I said, "I'm going to tell you something." I said, "Pawpaw's fixing to go have surgery." And I said, "I may not wake up." Well, now, it wasn't my intentions not to wake up. But, you know, you never know. I didn't, and still don't for sure. But it about scared her to death. Anyway, she called my wife or texted her several times, you know, during the process of my deal to make sure that I woke up. But I told her, I said, "I want you to know something. If Papa don't wake up, I want you to know that he loves you, cares." I thought here tonight, Lord, touch her heart. Let her to feel some of the enthusiasm that I have and some of the feelings that I have. There's a great work ahead of us. There's a job ahead of us. I want you to know this too, that you know Brother Painter, as good a preacher as he is, can't do it by himself. Brother Philip, good a preacher as he is, he can't do it by himself. He's got to have help. Even God, as great as he is, he will not do it by himself. He wants people. And we're here. We're here. We're children of God. We're here. How many is ready to stand up and say, "Lord, I want to be used in your kingdom. I want to be a part of what you're doing. I'm not Brother Painter. I can't talk like Brother Painter. I'm not Brother Smith. I can't talk like Brother Smith. I'm Wayne McGowan, and I can only talk like Wayne McGowan can. That's it. I want you to know I'm thrilled to be a part of what God has in the earth today. I'm excited about it. I know that he's going to have something greater, but I'm still thrilled with what we have tonight. Hallelujah. Thank God.
Well, I'm young, but I'm not the youth, technically. And I'm not Brother McGowan, but I'll be Chelsea Fisher. since you guys don't know me, I'm used to thinking that, you know, Dallas, I was in Dallas when I got the Holy Ghost, and they all know the story. So it was right before I was moving to San Antonio. And the Lord knew that I was going to need his spirit to get me through the next couple of years before I'd be back in church. And I wasn't seeking it. I didn't know much about it. My mom had taken us out of church, and I was just going with my sister. And so it's been Tina and I, and Sister Debbie Nielsen from Tyler was there that night, and we all called her Mama Debbie. She was our second mom. Brother Mike, her husband, was my church daddy, as I like to call him, because he was the one who'd take me out and give me my whoopings when I needed them. But my sister had to sneak me in the house that night because I was just so drunk in the spirit and just so filled. And it was just such an amazing experience. And I didn't get a chance to use it for the next 3 years. And my senior year in high school, I knew I needed to come back to church, and I did. And now I'm here. But as we were singing those songs, and then just as you were talking, this past year, you know, God really showed himself real to me, and he continues to show himself real to me. Brother Phil and I are trying to make it so that I can stay home, and so this week is my last week of work. And there's mixed emotions with that, because I always thought before I had Bridget that I'd be a working woman, and I would never be one of those stay-at-home moms, and we're going to try it, because I just don't like being away from her. But I don't know that one of the reverend who says it, but it's, if you've ever heard it, that's my king. And he goes down and he lists all the things that Jesus is, all the things and all the people. You know, he's our savior, he's our comforter, all the things that he is to us. And I was just thinking, throughout one day, how many times do we need him in a different way? And he provides, you know, that to me, nobody else can provide like he does. Nobody else can give me peace like he does when I'm stressed. Nobody else can touch me and can heal my mind and to get me off that kind of thinking like he can. So I'm just thankful that I get to serve a God who will never, ever, ever fail me and will always be there. And that's, I just wanted to get up and say that I'm thankful to be here, honestly.
I didn't express myself very well, but the last time I got up, I talked a little bit about Joshua, and I just want y'all to know that I love Joshua. He's very unique, and, you know, when I say, praise God, I didn't think that there would be anybody in the world for him, you know, because his temperament, you know, and I raised the boy, and it wasn't easy, you know, but I just, you know, Brother McGowan and Sister Fisher, just thinking about when you got the Holy Ghost, and while some other young people think about their experience, I remember I was, first I was in Brother Richard Tate's church after Brother Dawkins died, and I remember that what they believed in the a restoration of Israel, and always it seemed like church started with Jews and Gentiles. And I was little, and I heard people all around me speaking in tongues, and I thought, man, there's a lot of Jews in our church. I was little. I was very little. And my Aunt Peggy, like, made me sit on the front row by myself. And anybody that came and talked to me, she took me out the double doors and whipped me. So, but anyway, I remember being raised around that, Jews and Gentiles. And people would stand up behind me, and they would start giving their testimony, and they'd start talking in tongues. And I'd say, oh, she's a Jew, because I didn't know any better. But after Richard Tate sold that church and he moved to Israel and took a bunch of people with him, and I'd already been used to going to church with my grandma, you know, and y'all know that I'm half Polish, and so the other half of my family are all Catholics. And so I tried going to church with my other grandma, and well, she got to where she wouldn't have me because, you know, I just did everything wrong. And, you know, going in this great big Catholic church and seeing all that stained glass. And, you know, you could just be like, at all, looking at these pictures, you know. And I'd just look at this one and everything. And my grandpa would get on to me because, you know, I wouldn't do the water thing. And then you have to walk in the hallway and you have to kneel down and do all this stuff, you know, and then you scoot over in this bench, you know, and honestly, this is what I remember, y'all. It was like this. Here's the minister. And all the people would say back, and I remember I told my grandma, we need to pray. I want to pray. You know, when are we going to pray? Just a minute. We're going to pray in just a minute. And I'd wait. And then, you know, you flip that little board down and you nail down on there. And then, you know, we got up, you know, and I was like, well, when are we going to pray? And she's like, we just did. And, you know I didn't mean to say it out loud, but, you know, everything echoes in those big buildings. But I said, that's not what I wanted to pray about. And she, yeah, pray about, and I embarrassed her anyway. So, and they wouldn't let me go up there and have the crackers and juice and all that. And so, you know, I just felt left out, you know. But thank God, you know, because my Pentecostal grandma in the body, she had already done her job in my life. But, you know, I was kind of left without a church, and I just ended up going to church with whoever I was friends with it, you know, at school. And my mom had this friend, and she was our babysitter, and I got close with her girls. And so I ended up in Assembly of God Church. And I remember I was about 12 or 13 years old. And this was back when you had the two pews in the kind of the middle, you know. And whenever our pastor would tell us to come up and pray, and all the boys would gather around one side and all the girls around one side. And I remember we were just sitting there kneeled around this pew with our heads down. And you know, you'd just turn it to one side and look at this friend, and then turn to this side and smile at this friend. And I remember we were just praying, and y'all, it just came over me. I mean, I didn't even ask for the Holy Ghost. We were just praying, and it just like fluttered over me, and I started speaking in tongues really, really gently, you know. And at that time, we had a pastor, Brother Searles, and he recognized it. And I never really, well, I did. I went home, and I told my dad. I said, Dad, I got the Holy Ghost, and you know what he told me? Girl, you don't know anything about the Holy Ghost. And I was like, well, no, I really don't, but I know what I felt. But then it wasn't until after Joe and Joshua was born, and Joshua was about 4 months old, and we went to Brother Orville Wallace and Brother Milford's church in Kansas City, Kansas. And y'all, every time after my grandma died, God really started dealing with me. I mean, I'd stay up every night until 4 o'clock reading my Bible. I mean, I had a drunkard husband, and in every place we lived in, we tore up. I mean, because he fought, and I learned I could fight back, you know. And so he would tear up stuff, and I would tear up stuff, and he would leave, and I would run after him yelling, "Don't forget these." I'd grab up all his beer cans and start throwing them out in the yard, and they're just busting and spewing and bust out our windshield on our car and just everything. And so, and then we'd come home, the TV'd be gone, all the silverware, he took it to go do whatever. Y'all just don't know that kind of life. I do. I knew 4 years of that life. And praise God, he got me off that track. But anyway, I ended up at Brother Burns and Brother Wallace's church. And I'd go there and I would twist Kleenex because I'd just cry through service. And I would feel it the moment I walked right through the door. And I would sit down and I would just twist these little Kleenex. And I'd just end up with fibers all over, And I'd just twist and twist. And I remember Brother Wallace and everybody was up and praying. And this is the night that Brother Brad Ratliff got on the railing. And he got up and he started, like he was preaching. He was about 9 years old. And somebody said, "That means he's going to be the pastor of our church." And lo and behold, he is now. But anyway, I remember Brother Burns pointing at me going like this, And I was like, "He's not talking to me." And I'd turn and I'd look back like, "Well, who's he talking to, And I'm like, "He's not talking to me." And they had this little Jewish woman there, Barbara Dinner, and she used to pray for me every time I went there, y'all. She would just, wherever we were, she'd see me and she'd bolt to me. And she'd grab a hold of me and start shaking and praying for me. And I told people it's like she's trying to pray the devil out of me. Y'all, lo and behold, she was. She was. God knows what I needed. But she's not even in church today. But I hear she still praises God. But anyway, back to this one particular service. Brother Burns kept pointing at me and telling me to come up, And I'm just like, "Me? No, I'm not going to have anything to do with that, And my two aunts were with me, my Aunt Wilma and my Aunt Dorothy, which they've already passed. And so I sat there just twisting and twisting and twisting that Kleenex. And I was like, "God, I want you, Lord. I want you in my life, no matter what I have to do." Finally, I just got the courage. And I went up there, and Brother Burns had his back towards me, and I went up to him to tap him on the shoulder behind the pulpit. And all I remember is he took both of my hands, and I said, I'm not gonna open my hands because I'll drop this Kleenex on the floor. And y'all, that is all I remember. That is all I remember. They tell me I just dropped to the floor and started speaking in tongues. And Brother Smith, just like you talk about that little boy, finally I got the big one. I got the big one. Oh, God. I remember somebody telling me, my Aunt Dorothy, she told me she saw me get the Holy Ghost and fell on the floor speaking in tongues. And just that quick, and she said all I could do was laugh. I was mad at her for years. Laugh at me, would you, But anyway, on our way home, I remember, we were still looking. We were still listening to worldly music. And this is how God can change your mindset, because I remember laying in the back of the seat driving all the way to Arkansas and listening to those love songs or whatever. And I remember every song that I heard, it's like I translated into a love song for the Lord. And I remember for weeks I just walked around like, I don't know, feeling like a flower child or something, like I was way up here above the ground. And I just wanted to go to every door and knock at every door and tell everybody, "Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? You know he's real. He has something for us. He is here. He us with us. We don't live on this planet with nobody, you know. I just felt like for years, like I was a tumbleweed, you know. You just don't know. You don't know who to believe. You hear this person and their views on things, and then you're like, well, that's pretty good, you know, that kind of makes sense. And then you hear this person and, you know, their intake on everything, and, you know, it's kind of like you're just like a tumbleweed just rolling around out there, just senseless, mindless. Until the Lord filled me with this Holy Ghost, you know. And oh my God, what a difference, the understanding that you get, you know. Then you have discernment, what's really real, you know. And I mean, I even went to college at ASU BB, and I had to take a course, psychology, you know. And I mean, now that I'm in insurance, I realize that there are a lot of people out there who need their shrinks, but I used to think that was the most ridiculous thing, you know. Take it to the Lord, you know. We have God. He's our answer, you know. Why are you going to listen to this person tell you, you know? But anyway, I had this professor, and he came from California, and he was as gay as gay could be. And I was like, you know, you have to listen to get the right answers on the test, you know. But I remember through that whole class, it was like, this is a bunch of hockey wash. I was like, I can't believe this, you know. This is ridiculous. But anyway, you know, when you have the Lord in your heart, and then you know the truth, and you just don't have to be like a dumb blonde and out there believing everybody, you know, what they tell you. But I don't know why I said all that, but I just praise God and I thank him, you know, for what he saw in me, whatever he done in my heart, you know. And y'all know that my dad's on my heart all the time. And if I don't go see him like every day or every other day, he thinks I've abandoned him. And so and I really don't know what his problem is. I want him here so bad. I want him here so bad. I just can't hardly stand it. But, you know, there's like a yoke that has to be broken. I remember thinking about that. And, you know, because I had plenty of family in church, and I was on the outside trying to get on the inside, looking in. And I'm like, Lord, it's like a yoke. There has to be something that you just have to break that. And once you break it, it's like, wow, what was my holdup? Why did I wait so long, you know? And I lay there and I think about my dad, and because he knows. He knows about y'all. And he loves y'all too. He does. And he, you know, talks about things all the time and asks my opinion on things. And I know he needs to be here, and he knows he needs to be here. But if y'all would just pray, there has to be that yoke, you know, something that desire, or something that makes you want to jump over to the other side, no matter what it takes, just like when Brother Burns was pointing me out. And I'm like, oh no, I am not going up there. And then finally, you know, God, whatever I have to do, you know, if I get up there and make a fool out of myself, you know, I want you, Lord, I want you in my life. And I'm just so thankful. And then y'all know the whole story when I worked at Deluxe with Linda, and how I finally got here years later. But I'd already met Brother Lineker in the dining room in Kansas City, Kansas, years ago. Sister Lineker told me that was before he had his heart attack and lost his plane. And so look at how many years it took me to get here. But I've been here 18 wonderful, blessed years, and hated Arkansas so bad and just wanted to go back to Arizona until I found this church. And I told my mom, I said, no, I'm home. I'm not leaving Arkansas. This is where I belong. And that's after I found this church and all of you. And I'm still so thankful after all these years. And I do love all of y'all and wish I could do everything to help everybody. I wish I had money galore that I could just write out checks and solve everybody's problems. But you know, I'm not the Lord. I could just be here and pray with you. But I do love and appreciate all of you.
He's so real to me. Though some may doubt him, I can't live without him. That is why I love him so. He's so real to me. He's so real. He's so real to me. He's so real. He's so real to me. Though some may doubt him, I can't live without him. That is why I love him so. He's so real to me. He's so real. He's so real to me. He's so real. He's so real to me. Some people doubt him, I can't live without him. That is why I love him so. He's so real to me. He's so real. He's so real to me. He's so real. He's so real to me. Some people doubt him, but I can't live without him. That is why I love him so. He's so real to me. He's so real, he's so real to me. He's so real, he's so real to me. Some people doubt him, I can't live without him. That is why I love him so. He's so real to me. Oh, he's so real, he's so real to me. He's so real to me. Some people doubt him. I can't live without him. That is why I love him so. He's so real to me. Oh, he's so real. He's so real to me. He's so real. He's so real to me. Doubt him, but I can't live without him. That is why I love him.
appreciate the Lord. Appreciate Brother McGowan encouraging y'all to give your testimony. I hope maybe we can pick up where this left off, maybe in our next service. I'd like to see this catch on. I'd like to hear how everybody got the Holy Ghost and feel their testimony in it. Amen. I enjoyed these testimonies tonight because I don't know how everybody got the Holy Ghost, and even if I have heard it, it's good to hear it fresh again. So, y'all be praying, seeing if the Lord would help you. Some of you, we don't hear enough from you anyway. We need to, it's like Brother McGowan said, only you can tell it the way it really is. See, he tried to tell his wife's, and he got it messed up before he got started.
And
he proved his point. That's right. Hallelujah. All right. So next, this coming Sunday, then, we're going to move dinner day to the following Sunday, and that will be our sweetheart dinner. We've never done that before, having it, you know, as a dinner after our worship service. So we'll try that. It'll be something different. It will be catered. And so we'll get more details. And like Brother Painter said, we'll have child care for the little ones. And then the next week after that will be potluck dinner. It will remain the same. That is the Houston meeting weekend. It starts Thursday night and goes through Sunday. So I hope some of you, several mentioned that they're planning on trying to go. So I'm praying we have a good representation. It's good to go to these meetings because it'll encourage your vision. It really will. I mean, it really does enhance and encourage you. And we just need that from time to time. And then the potluck dinners have changed. Sister Bryant, bless her heart, she's really been suffering lately with her health. Let's keep her and Brother Bryant in our prayers. And Sister Karen, too, she's just under a big load. I've been praying for her lately. And let's remember them in prayer. But to relieve her some, we've made some arrangements on the potluck dinners that the dinner teams are going to be responsible for coordinating the potluck dinners. Isn't that right? Yes. Why
but another
go
sister.
Ahead and tell who they are.
Okay. Let's see. Sister Joanne's team is this month, so Sister Julie Lacey will be the coordinator. So she will ask everybody on the team, you know, if they're going to be here, if they can help out. Sister Sherry's team leader is Sister Bonnie Dodge, and then y'all have to help me out here. Who's my other one? Sister Sandra's team leader is going to be Sister Jamie Thompson. So they will just be the leader, the kind of the coordinator to help pull the food together to see if we need meat or desserts or whatever, and the team will just pitch in like dinner day and help.
All right. So don't y'all appreciate our team leaders for dinner and now these? Why don't we give them a hand? Aren't we appreciative of them? We do appreciate everyone in this church that works and so and labors and serves us. We're appreciative of that. So, anyway, that change is going to take place and help out. Sister Bryant's had that burden and load for a long time, and so for right now, that's what we're going to do to try to help her out. Not this coming Saturday, but the following Saturday before is youth night. and so here at the church. So we'll have more announcements about that later. All right, let's stand and give the Lord a praise. Is there another? Okay, Sister Holly has a special unspoken prayer request. Sister Chelsea. Sister Abraham. Good. I'm glad I meant to mention her. Oh, my. Wow. All right, let's remember that. Sister Linda Fisher's sister is going to have a heart transplant. Have they located a donor yet? No. All right, so let's remember that need. Remember all the needs. Sister Watson, when is your next appointment? She had to get the date. How many of you, let's fast for again this week like we did week before last. Can we get 21 meals of fasting? There's 21 of us here. I'm sure more hands. And that, we just want Sister Watson to know and the Lord to know that we're in petition for her miracle, for God to touch her and heal her. And so we're waiting to see what her next appointment and whenever they run the next test, how it comes out, but we're asking God, the Lord, to move in. He's our great physician, isn't he? He's our help in the present time of need, our shield and our buckler. There's nothing too hard for him. So, Jesus gave an illustration with just a little widow that just kept going to the judge and just wouldn't leave him alone. He said, that's the way you want to be when you pray. And just keep your petition before God and keep knocking on his door. And he said, have that kind of consistency and that kind of determination behind your faith. So let's just keep asking God to help us with these needs. All right, let's pray before we go home here tonight. Dear God, Father, meet these needs. Oh, Lamb of God, Sister Holly's need, Lord. Move on her behalf. God, you know her situation. Touch Sister Inez. Oh, God, we're praying that you would help us in this situation, Lord. Oh, Lamb of God, Sister Fisher's sister, Lord, would you touch her, help her, God, to find a donor. Help them with her need for a transplant. God, use these things for your glory. Precious Lord, touch Brother Wallace tonight. Oh, God, blessed Lamb of God, Sister Abraham, touch her, Lord. Brother and Sister Crow, we pray for them. Touch Sister Dolores. Jesus, help her. Sister Karen and the children, help them with their situation, with the sale of their home, Lord. Oh, God, touch Sister Stewart tonight. Those that have been sick, Lord, we just ask you, Jesus, to touch them. Touch my mother tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Father, you're worthy of our praise. Oh, hallelujah. What a privilege to have a Lord to pray to. God, I ask you to help us with our needs. We give you praise for that. Oh, God, we're aware we're privileged, oh, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. All right. God bless you. I'll see you Wednesday night. It's bride night, remember.